You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
I want to pray for some people tonight. Unleash the Holy Ghost. This is the first time you're at C3. Welcome. We love you. We've been praying for you. We're thankful that you made it tonight. And we really are this nice. When I came to this church, I was like, are they really this nice? Are they really that passionate about Jesus? And what I found after being here for 10 years is that we are that nice and we are that passionate about Jesus. Which is kind of how church should be, I feel like. Should be passionate about Jesus. Should get hyped up for Jesus. Should get hyped up for church. We get hyped up for the Chargers and they lose every year. Gosh. I still want them to stay, though. I voted yes on whatever that prop was. Anyways, tonight's going to be good. Anybody have a good week this week? Do you guys have a good week? This was a good week. This was a busy week. My mother-in-law is here. Can you give us a wave? Teresa, who was healed of cancer twice. And the last time, that was the last time. And she's here tonight, so she's been a blessing. Always takes good care of us when she's here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Jim, if you're watching, you're a lucky man. That's her husband. We had Pathfinders on Thursday morning, which was epic. Brian Buffini ripped the roof off of the Marriott. And Jose Rubalcaba, I'm not sure if you're here, but guy's just going to a whole new level in this whole production thing. And it was amazing. And then I had my birthday. Turned 42. After 40, doesn't really count. It doesn't really matter. But I'm 42, and so that was fun. And then I did a wedding today, which was good. It's always good to do a wedding and get kind of the front row view of, you know, newly in love people. That was fun. But I got to tell you that tonight, I've been looking forward to tonight more than all of that stuff, because I feel like I got a word that might light you up a little bit and might get you excited, might get you even more passionate about God. I believe that the power of God is gonna flow at the end of this service, and that some of you might even get touched during the service. You too, live stream. You're gonna get touched too. But Thursday at Pathfinders, Brian Buffini was there and he was amazing. And he was talking about how immigrants come to America, and his words were why it's so easy to be successful in America from an immigrant standpoint. And he talks about all these different traits about, you know, being an immigrant and that sort of thing. And he tells his story, how he came over from Ireland. He had nothing. Then he goes into like a couple $100,000 in debt. Then he gets hit by a car. Gets hit by a car, and then medical bills, a couple $100,000 in debt, and then how he comes back, and now his company's making, you know, has earned in revenue over $1 billion. And it was an amazing thing. And he's telling this story and how, you know, an immigrant comes and they got their back against the wall, and so they have to fight in order to make it and all this stuff, and then how he got hit by the car. And then he said he was kind of telling his story one time at one of his conferences, and a guy came up to him afterwards and said, Brian, I got a problem with your story because you've faced all this adversity. You know, you came over as an immigrant with nothing. You got hit by a car. You went into all this debt. You had no choice but to be motivated to be successful. He said, I've grown up in America. I've lived a pretty good life. I didn't have any struggles or any problems. He goes, so how am I supposed to be successful like you were? And he goes, well, let me take you out to the parking lot and run you over a couple of times. And then maybe that'll motivate you to be successful. It's a great story, but the truth is we don't need to have a tragedy to get motivated to be successful. Because God, Jesus died on a cross so that you didn't have to limp through life, but so that you could rule and reign in this life. I said this quite a few times, but I believe once you become a Christian, you forfeit the right to live a small life. You now have to worry about people other than yourself. That's why we talk about money, because we want to be blessed to be a blessing. Had we not have generous givers like Pastor Drew was saying, we wouldn't have a South Campus. We wouldn't have a Central and a North Campus. We wouldn't have My City Youth and kids coming to Christ every week. We wouldn't have our college outreach. We wouldn't have any of that stuff. But because when you become a Christian, you got to live bigger. You got to live a big life. Jesus died so that you and I can live big, so that we can go big. We don't need a tragedy in our life to be motivated to live big, because Jesus already suffered a tragedy so that you and I can live big. Romans 5:17 says this: "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive," everybody say receive, "the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Jesus died on a cross, and now he expects you and I to reign in this life. We're not meant to be under, we're meant to be over. He died so that you and I could reign, but check this, we have to receive. We have to receive the abundance of grace. The reason he says abundance of grace is because most of us are jacked up. Most of us were jacked up before we got saved, and we're still kind of working through it. We're always on a journey. We're always in process. But we have to be able to receive that. I think sometimes we accept Jesus as our Savior, and we just kind of like limp into heaven. But if you can receive the abundance of grace, you can rule and reign. He's given you a gift, the gift of righteousness. When God looks down from heaven and he sees you, he looks through the filter of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus literally, he literally took his perfect life and exchanged it for our imperfection. Now that's how God sees you. He looks through perfection. It's a gift of righteousness. It's hard for us to accept that. It's hard for us to receive the abundance of grace. But if we can't receive that, we can't rule in life. We can't reign in this life. The title of my message tonight is Make It Rain. Somebody go like this. The title is Make It Rain because I think there's some stuff in our lives that we need to make rain in order for us to live a life that is preeminent. Because God's called us to live a life that is preeminent. So we need to make a few things rain. There's a lot of things. I'm going to talk about three. The first thing that we need to make rain in our lives is the name of Jesus. See, the truth is the name of Jesus already reigns in the world. We just have to make it rain in our world. The Bible says this in Philippians 2, 5-11, and Pastor Matt touched on it. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." It says, "Let this mind," so that means we have a choice. We can either not let it or let it. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider a robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and becoming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let me tell you something. The name of Jesus is so, so powerful. Picture this. God is in heaven, and he sees Jesus go to earth, humble himself even to the point of death, to the very creation that he created. He submits himself. And he dies on a cross. Because he did that, because he came and served, died on a cross to redeem you and I, God looks at him. And the Bible says that he exalted his name above every name. In the heavens, in the earth, and beneath the earth. God lives in heaven. So what God is saying is, he's elevated the name of Jesus even above his own name. He's elevated the name of Jesus even above his own name. That's why we say in the name of Jesus. Because it's the greatest name on the planet. And I touched on this, I think a week ago, but at some point you and I are going to bow our knee to the name of Jesus. At some point, either in this life or the next, we're going to bow our knee to Jesus. So why don't we just bow our knee now? Why don't we just submit to him now? Because it's the greatest name. Why wait till we're passing into the next life? Why don't we bow our knee now to the greatest name in the heavens, in the earth, and beneath the earth? Because it's when we submit ourselves to that name, we gain authority. Because it's when you submit to authority that you actually get authority. As we submit to the name of Jesus, as we bow to the name of Jesus, you become a trustworthy ambassador for Christ. He can trust you with his name. He can send you out in his name. Why would we go through life without tapping in to the greatest name in the world? We got to make his name reign in our life. Mark 16, 17 says, "And these signs will follow those who believe in my name, the name of Jesus. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So those who believe in his name are allowed to go in his name and do great exploits. They're allowed to go in his name and heal the sick, speak with new tongues, cast out devils. If anything comes near them, it won't hurt them. But you have to submit to that name. You have to make his name preeminent in your life. You can't elevate your name. You might be a successful business person. You might be a successful minister, but you can't elevate your name above the name of Jesus, because it's only in the strength of his name that you're doing anything. A while ago, I went to pray for this young girl. She's 5. In a hospital, and I walked in, and she was a friend of a friend, and as I walked in, I saw this man, and he was maybe like 6'3", just a big dude, and it was his daughter that was laying in this bed, and she had tubes everywhere, and she was in a coma. She wasn't responding, and the doctor said she probably wouldn't respond, that she had cancer, and then she had treatment for over a year. And after the end of the treatment, she started going into seizures, and the seizures actually put her into a coma. And so when I walked in this room, it was very sad because I have a 4-year-old. And so I kind of put myself in the father's position. Now, you need to understand this father was a Navy SEAL. One of the most well-trained soldiers on the planet. He could probably wink and snap my neck. That's how powerful this dude was. He knows how to shoot weapons. He knows how to fight. There's no enemy, there's no terror group that can come upon him that he can't overtake, because he's in the special forces, the elite soldier in the United States military. He's not used to having an enemy that he can't defeat. And when I went in to pray for this young lady, God spoke to me as I was leaving, and he said, "This is why you need to make the name of Jesus reign in your life. Because the most well-trained people, sickness doesn't listen to the word Navy SEAL. A lot of enemies will flee when they hear Navy SEAL, but sickness doesn't respond to that name. Demons don't respond to that name. The only name that they would respond to is the name of Jesus. How precious is the name of Jesus? We need to make the name of Jesus reign in our life if you want to be a successful Christian. If you want to be able to lay hands on the sick, we have to make his name preeminent. We have to make his name reign. Don't go through life without accessing the name of Jesus. The second thing we have to make reign in this life is his word. Once again, his word already reigns in the world, but we have to make it reign in our world. John 1:1-5 says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not and cannot comprehend it." This is how powerful the word is. The Bible says that in the beginning was the word, Jesus, and the word was with God, and the word was God, because God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, they're all one, they're all God. So in the beginning, the word was with God, and nothing was created without him. And so in the beginning, when God said, "Let there be light," Jesus, the word, was with him. It was the word that created everything out of nothing. That's how powerful the word is. We have to make the word reign in our life. The word is literally, this book is literally Jesus written down. This is the word. This is Jesus written down on paper. It's so powerful. It's not just words on paper. It's actually Jesus on paper. It's powerful. That's how powerful the word of God was. He was there in the beginning. The word of God never fails. And the Bible says that darkness could not comprehend it. So when God said, let there be light, he spoke light into darkness, but darkness couldn't handle it. So darkness backed off and light came, because darkness can't comprehend the word of God. Darkness cannot comprehend Jesus. Darkness, meaning evil, can't comprehend Jesus, can't comprehend the word of God. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The reason Jesus didn't abort the mission when he came to earth to die on a cross is because he is the word. He is the word, and he knew that he could not return to heaven without accomplishing his mission. So there was actually 100% guarantee that Jesus was going to go through the whole process, die on a cross, and raise again before he went to heaven, because the word of God cannot return to him void, and Jesus is the word. He cannot return void. It was God in heaven that sent his word through eternity, and it traveled through eternity, and it landed in time on earth. And it accomplished what God had sent him to do before it could go back. Because the word cannot return to God void. This is his word. If you speak his word, it's not coming back without accomplishing what it was sent out to do. When you suffer loss or disappointment, you need to go to the word. Every answer that you'll ever need is in the word, if you make it rain in your life. So when you have a disappointment or a loss, you need to declare the word. You need to say Romans 8:28. Now we know that all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. When you declare that word into your situation, into your loss, I'm telling you, you may not be able to see it right away, but there's a shift happening, because that word that you spoke cannot return to you void. It has to turn that situation into good. It has to. It can't return void. It always accomplishes what it sets out to do. When there is a sickness in your body, you can declare 1 Peter 2:24 that says, I was healed, past tense, by his stripes. And when you declare his word, it cannot come back to you void. Whenever I pray for somebody that's sick, I know that I'm speaking the word of God and that it's going in and it's doing business on whatever that sickness is, because it can't come back. It can't come back unless it is working inside that person. If you're facing a financial problem, you can say, but it's my God who will supply all of my need through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So even though you can't see how you're going to pay that debt, even though you can't see how you're going to pay that bill, I'm telling you, there is something happening in the spirit realm, because the word of God cannot return to you void. There is a need that is going to be met by the power of God in his riches and in his glory. When you're facing a decision, you got to make a decision. The Bible says that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's able to discern soul and spirit. Soul is how you think. Soul is your emotion. Sometimes we don't know which is which. Is it spirit? Is it soul? The word of God can discern. That's why we got to go to the word of God, and we got to push aside our feelings, push aside our desires, and see what the word of God says. Ladies, when you meet a handsome man in your high school or in your college or in your workplace, and he's handsome, he spray tans, he's jacked, he's ripped, he's making it rain, he drives a nice car, he speaks 5 languages and French, and he comes to you and he wants to take you to bed without paying the price of a courtship, of a ring, and of a wedding, and everything in you is saying, yes, look at those abs, look at that money, look at that car, he speaks French. When everything in you is saying yes, that's when you have to elevate the word of God that says sex is good, but after marriage, no sex before, lots of sex after. And when you tell it to this guy, if he's not down with it, then you ain't getting down with him. You got to elevate the word of God. And ladies, you can get a little crazy too. So fellas, you got to elevate the word too. They're trying to take you to bed. After marriage, lots of sex before marriage. That's what the Bible says. But we got to make his word reign. The one thing that I want to get to in this point about making his word reign is it comes down to identity. You have to believe what the word of God says about you, not just what the word of God can do for you. You have to believe what the word of God says about you. That's the whole receiving the abundance of grace. I want to invite the band out. That's the whole receiving the abundance of grace. Because we are in a performance culture. In other words, we perform, then we get rewarded. Pastor Juergen said this morning. We perform and then we get rewarded. So it's hard for us to receive grace. Grace is something that you receive that you don't deserve. Jesus came not because you deserved it, but because he loves you. And he died on a cross. But the devil will attack your identity so that you can't reign in life. That's why Jesus was in the wilderness on his fast. And the devil comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. He started to attack his identity so that Jesus would start to question his call. Am I really the Son of God? Am I really called to this thing? What the devil didn't know is that a chapter earlier, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And as he come out of the waters of baptism, the Bible says the heavens open. And there was a voice from heaven, the voice of God, and it says, you are my Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus started his ministry from a place of approval, not for approval. He had already been approved. You are my son, in whom I am well pleased. You are my daughter, in whom he is well pleased. We don't have to perform to get the love of Jesus. He loves you. He created you. There's nobody like you. But we have to believe that, what the Bible says about us. The Bible says that God has adopted us as sons and daughters into his family. He has adopted us. The Bible says that you and I are heirs together with Christ, joint heirs of the kingdom. Joint heirs with Christ. That means we have access to everything that Jesus had access to. That's what a joint heir is. That's who the Bible says you are. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter if you've sinned in the past. Doesn't matter if you've come from dysfunction. Doesn't matter if you've gotten a divorce. He's offering you today the abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness. And he says that you are a joint heir with Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians that we are seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus, high above every principality and every power. That's who you are. You guys heard of John the Baptist? He's the one that baptized Jesus. You know what the Bible says about us in regards to him? He was the greatest prophet of all time. He's the one that introduced the world to Jesus. The Bible says he was the one that made a way for the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And here's what the Bible says about us in regards to John the Baptist. And I'm saying this because some of you might be newly saved. Some of you might have only been in the kingdom for a little while. This is what the Bible says in Matthew 11:11. It says, assuredly, I say to you, this is Jesus, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. That means he's the greatest prophet of all time, greater than Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of the prophets. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, the Bible says you are greater than the greatest prophet in the Bible. We got to elevate that word in our life so that we can believe it. So that when we face struggles, when we think, man, how can God use me? God is telling you this, those who are least in the kingdom. Because yeah, we were born of women, but then we were born again of God. John the Baptist wasn't born again. You and I were born again into the kingdom of God. Now we are joint heirs with Christ. That right there should allow you and motivate you to reign in this world. You have to believe this. You have to believe this. Don't let people tell you who you are. Don't let people label you. The only person that can label you is the one that created you. And his name is Jesus Christ. His name is God. And he says, you are the light of the world. He says, you are blessed. He says, you are highly favored. He says, you are above, not beneath. The head, not the tail. He says, you are powerful. And he says, you are his son and daughter in whom he is well pleased. You are operating from a place of approval. The third thing we have to make rain in this life is we have to make his power reign. We have to make the power of God reign in this life. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power. Everybody say receive. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We all know this verse. Acts 1:8 says, you shall, not you could if you want, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But again, we have to receive it. We have to receive the power of God so that we can make the power of God reign in our life. God wants to fill you with power so that you can reign in this life. At some point, I believe at some point, there will be a church or a group of churches that will embrace the power of God greater than any other church in the history of the world. There will be a generation of people that believe that they are filled with power, that they have been given authority over every demonic force, over every sickness. There will be a generation, there will be a church that will rise in the power of God, making the power of God reign in their life, in their church, in their city, in their region. There will be a church. There will be a people. And I am determined in my life that those people will be these people, that church will be this church. We will make the power of God reign in this world and in our world. You shall receive power. I'm telling you, the supernatural is going to become natural. Cancer dying and people living is going to be the new norm. People coming in a wheelchair and leaving without it will be normal. People coming in demonically oppressed, they will leave free. It's gonna happen, and it's gonna be normal. The supernatural is gonna be normal. There's gonna be people that will embrace the power of God, that will believe the power of God, that will make it rain in their life, that will believe that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, that will believe that there is no sickness on the planet that Jesus can't touch and heal. It doesn't matter if you just became a Christian. Those who are least in the kingdom can lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus has healed every sickness, every disease, performed every miracle, financial miracle, relational miracle. The Holy Spirit's the same Holy Spirit. It's been around for thousands of years. He knows how to do it all. We don't have to know how to do it all. It doesn't hurt you to know stuff. But you don't have to know it all. There's going to be a people where they believe that they've been chosen by God to shift church culture. We get condemned, we get thrown stones at, we get Yelp reviews because the power of God is not hidden in this church. And despite what other people say, we're not going to hide God. We're not going to hide God. People get all freaked out. Christians get all freaked out because the world wants power. The world is searching for power. And if the church isn't willing to give them power, they're going to find it somewhere else, at a psychic or a medium or a sorcerer or whatever. That's why the church has to provide power, young people. We got to be filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with power so that the people in our high schools and in our colleges know that there's an authentic supreme power, and it comes from the Holy Spirit. We got to make his power reign. The power of God is explosive. Who knows what's going to happen? People try to intimidate us because sometimes people fall down when you pray for them because the power of God hits them. Is it real? Is it not real? Who cares? Because you haven't experienced it, don't reduce your theology to your experience. How about trying to raise your experience to this theology? Man, I hope and pray that the God of the universe, the God that I have given my whole life to, can at least knock me over. If he can't knock me over, we got bigger problems. The church should freak people out sometimes. People should leave signs and wonders, the Bible says. People should leave wondering, what the heck just happened? Unexplainable. Full of wonder because God is wonderful. We should have signs and wonders manifesting every week. And if people fall down, so be it. You know how much power there was in the book of Acts? There was so much power that people feared the church. They feared the church. Acts 5:12 says, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among them, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared to join them." Because they didn't know what was going to happen. Man, who is this God? That's the kind of God we serve. Freaks people out. They get fearful. You never know what's going to happen with God. We believe in order. We believe in all of that stuff. But come on. I can't believe people have so much time to worry about what we're doing. It must be people that don't read the Bible, because Jesus, pretty much all he did was heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. That's all he did. But we're at the church, his sons and his daughters, called to be the light of the world. We can't do it? Why can't we do it? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know what Bible those people are reading. I don't know why they care that people are getting healed in the house of God, that demons are leaving, that people are getting set free. Why do they care? That's this church. That's who we are. We elevate the power of God. We make the power of God rule and reign in our life and in our church. We need the power of God. We need it. It's the church's job. It's the church's job to declare into the atmosphere the power of God. Ephesians 3:10 says, "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in heavenly places." It's our job to declare. It's our job to make the power of God known. That Jesus paid a price and he sent the Holy Spirit to fill you and I. And I don't just say this to pick a fight I'm not angry at anybody, but we get a lot of flack for the power of God. We talk about money because for some reasons people don't want to prosper. I don't even get that. Because the people in the world like that. They like to prosper. But the people in the church think, yeah, we can't make too much money because we might get greedier. I don't even know why they think that. It's all in the Bible. So we get flack for that. We get flack for the power of God. We get flack for people falling over. We get flack for the Stars and Stripes series. We get flack for all this stuff. And so I always want to make sure that my heart is right. So I did some soul searching during that series. Like, God, is this really the message that you want me to preach in the Stars and Stripes? Is this really, do you really want the church to have a voice in this area? Do you really want us? Is it really okay? Because I've heard pastors say, don't do everything you know how to do on a Sunday. Is it really okay to do everything we know how to do? In other words, don't operate in the power of God. Keep God kind of behind the screen. Is it really okay that we do what we do? And you know what I heard the Holy Spirit tell me? He said, "I have called you to disrupt church culture. You are not called to be status quo. You are not called to follow behind. You are called to lead. You are called to rule. You are called to reign. You are called to disrupt the spirit realm. You are called to not be status quo, to be preeminent. You are called to lead. You might take some shots, but I'm telling you are called to disrupt. You are called to make a difference. You are called to turn your high schools upside down, your colleges upside down. You are called to disrupt the norm. You are a disruptor. Jesus walked in on the scene. He disrupted everything. He said, yeah, you know the prophecies that you've been hearing about? I am he, and I have come to set you free." And people said, whoa, isn't this the carpenter's son? How can this guy have so much power and authority? My God, look at what he's doing. He disrupted everything. They thought the Messiah was going to come as a soldier, Navy SEAL like, but he came and he served. He came and he submitted himself. He disrupted everything. I think the devil's had too much time to roam freely in San Diego. It's time for the church to declare to the principalities and the powers that Jesus Christ is real, that his power still reigns today, and that there's no greater name than the name of Jesus. There's no better word, greater word than the word of God. You were called to disrupt church culture. They'll come around. We just love them. Be nice, love them. But let's not hide God. Let's continue on the mandate of which we're called to do at C3 San Diego. Amen? Amen. Why don't I want to pray for some people. Why don't you just close your eyes really quickly right where you are. Oh, Jesus, thank you. The very first step in operating and in reigning in life is accepting, like I said before, receiving the abundance of grace. Not just accepting him as your savior so you limp into heaven, but to receive the abundance of grace so that you can reign in life. The first step is to actually receive Jesus. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, I want to give you that opportunity tonight. Maybe this is your first time, maybe you've been to church a bunch of times, but you've never really heard a message worth raising your hand for and accepting this Jesus. I'm telling you, he wants to empower you to live a great life. So if that's you, if you've never invited Jesus into your life, but tonight you're saying, you know what? I want to give this Jesus a chance. If he died on a cross for me, I'm going to give him a chance. Or maybe one time you did give your life to him, but you've taken your life back. And tonight you're saying, you know what? I want to recommit myself to Jesus. If you're one of those two people, you've never given your life, or once you did and you took it back, I want you to just raise your hand while everybody's eyes are closed, right where you are, so that I can see it and I can pray for you. God bless you, Lenny. God bless you. God bless you over to my right. God bless you over to my left. I see that hand. I see that hand up there. I see that hand in the very back. God bless you. I see that hand right here on my right. Once I see your hand, you can put it down. The red hat, I see that hand, buddy. Is there anybody else? I'm telling you, God wants to fill you tonight. I see that hand over to my left. I see that hand up here. I see that hand, sir, right in the middle. God bless you. Come on, don't leave the same way you came in. The devil wants you to lose. God wants you to win. Amen. Amen. You can look up here. There was a lot of people that raised their hand all over the building, and I want to pray with you personally, and so it's kind of hard to do that from here. What I would ask you to do is I would love it if you would come down to the front. Now, we're all going to stand up. We're all going to clap and cheer. Most of the people in this room have done this at some point, including myself. If you brought a friend, you can bring your friend. But I want the opportunity to pray with you, to invite Jesus into your life. It would be my extreme honor. So why don't we all stand up, church? And if you raised your hand, would you do me the honor of coming down so that I can pray with you personally? Come on, let's give him a hand. Let's shout. Let's cheer. Tight because it twisted the stage, but I'm so proud of you guys. So proud of you, man. You're a champion. The hand of God is on you, sir. I saw you in the middle of the service. The hand of God is on you. Your future is going to be way different than what you've experienced so far. He's got something special for you, for all of you. Everything's going to change. So why don't we do this? Why don't you guys repeat after me? We're all going to do it. We're all going to pray in here. Just say this simple prayer. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, help me. Make your name reign. Make your word reign. Make your power reign in my life. I declare today, I am saved. That heaven is my home and God is my Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm so proud of all of you. I'm pumped. It's awesome. Some of you for the first time, some of you for the second time, that doesn't matter. God is going to come upon you. See this handsome gentleman right here, Ryan. He's one of our great pastors at our church. There's a response lounge right there. If you could turn to your right and follow him. I just want to give you a Bible really quickly. Answer any questions that you have. It's a great decision that you've made tonight. We want to make sure we take care of you. You have some great people behind you. Come on, let's cheer these people on. Amen, amen. Well, hey, we have a few minutes left, and I'm just believing that the power of God is going to fall in here, and that you're going to get touched, that whatever you need can get answered tonight. The power of God isn't weird. It's super, but it's natural. It's supernatural. So we can't be afraid of the power of God. We can't put God in a box. We can't put him behind. We have to let him flow. We have to let him move. We have to let him do what he wants to do. So I want to pray for a couple of people. Is Myra here tonight? Where's Myra? Come here, Elmira. Come on up. I want to pray for Myra. I want to pray for Werner. Get up here, Werner. You're a champion. Love Werner. Love Myra. There's a couple other people I want to pray for with you. Jeff Q, where's Jeff? Come on up, sir. J Mac, come on up. John Mac. Is that Dr. Matt over there? Come on up, Dr. Matt. Dr. Matt's birthday. Need a touch of the Holy Ghost on your birthday. I want to pray for you, Myra, first. And I'm just thinking about you today because you're awesome. And I know Myra really well, so I'm just going to brag on her for a second. She did our internship program and just flourished. Like, you became a whole new woman. Whole new woman. And I just know that God was telling me today that how proud he is of you. That you've made decisions that no one else has seen, decisions to follow him, to make his word reign, despite what you were feeling. And he sees it. And because he sees that, he's gonna elevate your name. He's gonna give you influence. He's gonna give you everything that you ever desired. He's gonna give you that relationship. Are you still single? But you are an amazing woman, and here's what I felt that God said, that you've been trying to perform in Christianity to get approval. But God is saying, daughter, you are my beloved daughter in whom he is well pleased. Father, in Jesus' name right now, just receive the power of God. Touch Myra with your love, with your power. There it comes. There it comes. There it is. Father, touch in Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, all these guys I brought up here because there's a reason for it. It's because these guys are not just marketplace people or not just ministry people. They're marketplace and their ministry. They can throw the spear with their left hand and their right hand. And you guys have all been doing extraordinarily well in the marketplace. and in ministry. But I felt God say, pray for these guys tonight, that the power of God would be elevated in the marketplace. Not only just to like lay hands on the sick and all of that kind of stuff, but I believe that's gonna happen. But I'm talking about seeing clear. I'm talking about tapping into heaven so that when you're in your business meetings, when you're in your strategy meetings, when you're going to see clients, when you're making proposals, that God will give you that nugget, that you will be able to hear from heaven, that the power of God is the same power that raises the dead, is the same power that you can use in the marketplace, and it's available to you. So I'm believing that tonight the great power of God is gonna come on all of you in your businesses in Jesus' name. Power, touch him, God, in Jesus' name. Touch Jeff Q, power touches him in Jesus' name. Power of God comes on Dr. Matt at a new level, at a new level. And this is what I felt for you, Doc, Dr. Pastor. I felt like in the marketplace, there is nobody that is more confident than you. There is nobody that believes you can do great exploits than you. But I felt today when I was thinking about you on your birthday, that there were some things in your ministry life that you weren't quite as confident on. That there were some things that were maybe deep, hidden inside, that some dreams maybe that you had and some opportunities maybe you've turned down where, but God is saying, you are well able. I have given you the tools that you need. And the great power of God is not only gonna come on your business, that when you are adjusting people, they're going to get healed, but you are going to become a surgeon in the spirit, able to discern, which is already your gift, but it's going to a whole new level. And the confidence and the boldness is coming upon you tonight in Jesus' name. Power of God, touch him in Jesus' name. Father, right now, let the great power of God come on Jonathan Mack. Power fills him in Jesus' name. Power of God, touch his life in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Is there a girl here with kidney issues? I met her the other night. She said she might come tonight. Is that you? Come on down. Can you come down? Bring whoever you brought with you. Come on down, man. I met this awesome woman at The Lot. Come on, Isaac. The Lot in La Jolla. And how are you? Nice to see you. Most people say, hey, I'll come to church. They never come. What's up, man? Good to see you again. And I'm not sure if you guys know my story, but I was healed of kidney failure about 10 years ago. And I was in the hospital for about 4 days, lost 20 pounds just like that. And in one moment, the power of God hit my kidneys, and I got out of the hospital 2 days later, and I haven't had a problem since. They don't know what the problem was. They don't know why I got fixed, but I know, and it was the great power of God, and I'm believing that same power is gonna come upon you tonight, that whatever your issues are, and I know you've been improving, but whatever those issues are, they're gonna go away, and they're never gonna come back. Just put your palms towards heaven. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the great power of God. Father, I thank you right now for the great power of God. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, right now, I speak to these kidneys and I declare the healing power of God comes upon you this day. I curse sickness, disease in Jesus' name, and I command you now to loose this woman of God in Jesus' name. Get off her life. And I declare the great power of God fills you from head to toe right now in Jesus' name. Healing right through your body. Right through your body, in Jesus' name. Power of God. Power of God. Power of God. Believing there's gonna be a great testimony from you that you're gonna be able to share with family and friends who maybe have questioned the power of God. But I'm telling you, it's coming upon you tonight in a new way, at a new level. You're gonna see it differently. You're gonna see God differently. You're gonna see the power of God differently. And then you yourself are gonna lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Father, I thank you for this mighty woman of God. Touch her tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for this mighty man of God. I like this guy. He's powerful. Look at his tattoo. He's a powerhouse. This guy is also called to advance in the marketplace, which is what he told me. I know that's not a prophetic word. That's what he's called to. And I'm believing that the power of God, not just the gift of God that has got you to where you are, but the power of God can take us to a whole new level. So you've been gifted with music. You've been gifted with talent, with charisma. But the power of God makes all the difference. The power of God is what's going to elevate you to chase the dreams. It's going to put you in contact with the right people. It's going to carve a path for your future. Father, in Jesus' name, right now, I just pray that the power of God would touch this mighty man. Father, elevate him to a preeminent place in the marketplace. I declare right now, dreams and visions come into pass. Father, bring door openers into his life. Let him see differently. In Jesus' name, the great power of God touches him this day. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Is Ryan back yet or no? Ryan Smith? No? He's not back yet? Is there anybody else that's suffering sickness in their body? I want you to raise your hand where you are. Should just raise your hand where you are. Come on, if you know how to pray in the Spirit, I want you to start to pray in the Spirit. God can touch you right where you are in your seat. We got to end the service, so we're going to pray. I want you to stretch out your hands towards those who are sick in Jesus' name. Father, right now, I assert the dominion of Jesus Christ into this place. In Jesus' name, I curse every sickness. I curse every disease in Jesus' name. I cancel every assignment against the people of God in Jesus' name. And I declare right now, be healed in Jesus' name. Let the healing power of God flow through your body in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, right now. Mike Butcher, the power of God is on you right now in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, touch, 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 touch. Right through, right through, right through, right through your body. Young lady in the back, power of God is on you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I want you to start thanking God for healing you. Thanking God for healing you in this place. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It is not the will of God for you to be sick. And I declare the word of God that says we were healed by his stripes. And I declare that the word of God will not return void, but it will accomplish what it's been sent out to do. In Jesus' name. Ryan, come up. I like this guy too. He's another one. I prayed for some people that can throw with the left hand and the right, ministry and marketplace. Something that you've excelled at in both things. You've excelled at in both things. You've elevated the word of God in your life, the integrity. And so your gift, your charisma, your talent is taking you to a certain place. But I'm believing that the power of God is going to take you to a place where you can't go by yourself. The power of God is going to show you things that you don't know. The power of God is going to let you see. The power of God is going to be upon you when you're doing contracts, when you're in meetings, when you're doing strategy. It's going to be like, man, I've never seen that before. It must be the power of God. I believe the power of God is going to increase in your ministry as well, but I'm telling you, in the marketplace, God has called you to be a giant in the marketplace, not because you're tall. But he's called you to be a giant. And because you've elevated his word, I mean, this is what I hear the Lord say, because you've elevated his word above yours, his word above your feelings, integrity above what maybe others would do in contracts, in dealing with people, the great power of God is coming on you tonight to take you to a whole new level. Power, touch him in Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on. Let's give God one more shout. Oh! Come on, who's ready to be the church that rises and elevates the power of God, elevates the word of God, elevates the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for these incredible people. I thank you, God, that your power is not resting on them, but your power is active on them. In Jesus' name, Father, let us go out. Let us go out in the power of God. Let us all see differently. Let us all forge paths that we couldn't do before, God. I pray for new relationships. I pray for new opportunities, God. Lord, I pray for promotions. I pray for increase. I pray for ministry power to come upon people, where people can see clearer, where they can prophesy, where they can discern spirits, where they can lay hands on the sick and see them recover, where they can work a miracle where there hasn't been. And Father, we declare that we are a disruption to the church culture in this city and in this region, not to pick a fight, but because you've called us to step out and to stand up in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Go have a great Thanksgiving. Go prophesy over somebody. And have a great week. Make sure you're thanking God for what you have, not for what you don't have this week. And you'll have a great week. God bless you.